Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have a really exciting interview ahead of us, another one about being a financial life coach who both educates women and helps them through a variety of experiences about money. Today, you're going to be meeting Linda Lingo, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who guides women to a better relationship with money and their finances and uses her VIIP formula to holistically coach midlife women, starting with their money story and relationship to money. So welcome to the show, Linda. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Susie. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here too. I mean, who doesn't like to talk about money when you're an entrepreneur? There's so much going on. I know we're going to have such a good conversation today too about your midlife entrepreneur story. So we're going to be talking all about that, about your business and about what's going well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in your way a little bit here or there, as they always do. And it's in your life and how it bumps into your business. So we're going to talk about all of that. So let's get started with the first question: how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, your entrepreneur journey, and what it is you do in the world. Take it away.
Well, thank you very much. And like I said, thank you for being here. I really appreciate the opportunity. So I am thrilled to be 68 years young. I consider myself to be aging gracefully. I kind of like the way Jane Fonda puts it. You know, we have three acts in our life span. And, you know, when you reach 60, you're entering your third act. And the third act is actually the act that people remember the most. It's not the first act. It's not the second act. It's the third act. And so I have taken that to heart and use that often when I am coaching women. And it's like, because I coach women primarily who are in their late 50s, early 60s, thinking about retirement in the next 5 to 10 years. That's my niche of ladies that I love to help. And as a financial life coach, I've been around the block a time or two. I'm a retired CPA. I was a corporate controller for a Fortune 500 company, a subsidiary of a Fortune 500 company, and a financial advisor. So with that plethora of experience, it really helps when I'm talking to women, because given the era when I was in corporate America, there weren't very many women in the boardroom, I can tell you. Mm. And so definitely shaped the way I work with money, and also what I think women really want to hear and know. So I am a financial life coach, and I really enjoy helping women. And I'm holistic in my approach, like you said, in that I want to make sure we start where we need to start. And that's really understanding our relationship to money that actually develops as early as age 5, and then working through that, and then helping women understand their values and really making that the basis or the foundation of how they work with their money and how they gain confidence in that relationship.
So it starts as early as age 5. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So the way we're brought up, now I'm not going to, you know, badmouth parents, because most of us have also, you know, been on that side of the coin. But yes, as early as age 5, because depending on how your parents, not just dealt with money, talked about money and, showed their emotions about money, influences how we, view money. For instance, my own story, I was brought up, I'm the oldest of 5 on a farm in, Midwestern United States. And we were always taught you had to work hard for money, which I translated, work is hard. It's not fun. It's not joyful. It's hard. You got to work really hard for money. Number one. And number two was, you know, you don't spend anything. You save first and then you spend. That was a good habit to be brought up with, I think. And the other one was that money was something that my parents fought about. We weren't wealthy. We had food on the table, but I honestly never went to a fast food restaurant until I was in college. Mm. Having soda was something that we just didn't have. And so my mother's love language is gift giving, and it always caused problems. I mean, I remember Christmas when my folks were arguing about she gave us too many presents. And, you know, anyway, so money always kind of evoked arguments in our family. And I kind of carried that over too. It's like, you know, oh my, there's never enough. And if, you know, we're going to have an argument, you know. And so that's my story. That's probably not your story. But when I'm working,
you know what,
women,
Linda, it's kind of similar. I'm also the oldest of five girls. And you really got me thinking. I grew up really feeling like money was scarce and money caused problems, definitely. And there was some traumatic stuff that happened early on, but definitely money was scarce and hard to come by. Yeah. And it did start very young. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And most people don't realize that, but when we start digging, you know, that's what we find. And then it's, once you realize it, then it's reworking it because, you know, those are all stories we've told ourselves and we have these neural pathways in our brain. And when we tell that story for many, many years, you know, the work's got to be hard. You know, it's difficult, but it can be changed to, oh, I really like my work and I can make money at it, you know, which is where I'm at now and loving it. So.
Oh, that's so much more fun. So I know in midlife, one of the things that you talk a lot about is what is referred to as gray divorce. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So per the research and literature, gray divorce is for women, anyone 50 and over, and that's considered gray divorce. Having experienced it myself at age 60, it's something that I certainly can empathize with and coach women through. And there's actually two aspects to a divorce, whether it's gray or not. And that's the emotional side and the financial side. Working through the emotional side is something I help them do, but they really need a licensed, you know, counselor or marriage counselor to help them through that. I help them specifically on the financial side. There's different aspects to a gray divorce because typically the couple has been married for at least 10 years, usually 20, 30, 40 years, accumulated more assets. So we've got more assets that we have to deal with. They've contributed to a retirement account. So we've got to figure out how to divide that up. And they probably have children that are, most of them are out of the house, but maybe still in college. And so trying to figure all that out. So there isn't always that child support issue with younger children, but you're looking more at either the college financing or the retirement, how to divvy that up. And then, of course, alimony. If one of them never worked and, you know, was a stay-at-home parent, then you've got to figure out how that's going to play into it, as well as Social Security, when and how to draw on that. So there's a lot that goes into a gray divorce.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. And were you surprised, like with your experience and with what you do for a living now, did you feel prepared with all of the issues, or is your experience what inspired your career direction?
Oh, thanks. Well, I was a financial advisor at the time that I went through the divorce, and I was very thankful that I had always contributed to my retirement accounts and that I knew where the money was. I knew what the investments were. So that aspect wasn't so scary for me. I often say the worst day of my divorce was when I had to write him a six-figure check for his half of my retirement. But the best day was the day I did that because the divorce was final and we were going our separate ways. Mm. So, yes, but it also made me realize that it's difficult going through a divorce after you've been married, you know, even for 5 or 10 years, let alone 40. And so there is a lot to it. And I think it makes me a better coach for women going through it because I've been there myself.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that too. So tell me a little bit about this intersection between what's going on in midlife and how those challenges get in the way of you trying to run your business? What's going on for you?
Well, in some way, I mean, they're challenges, but some of them are really good challenges. So I'm a mother of two and a Grammy to three, soon to be four. Ooh. And I love all of those roles. And so for me, it's carving out time intentionally to devote to my kids, to devote to my grandchildren. And so I'd say time management, maybe a little different than when you think of it as, you know, your 30s or 40s. But for me, it's time management. Also, at my age, health is really important. I don't say health nut, but health is a priority for me because I believe that if you don't have your health, I don't care how much money you have, it doesn't matter. So I take time each day to work out and to walk. And so that means I get to, and as a coach, it's nice because we get to, you know, establish, you know, our daily calendars the way we want to. And so it's just making time for my priorities. And I also think it's helped me to manage my time better because I don't spend, you know, 4 hours on a project that only requires one, you know? So I would say time management. And then
I have to just pick up on that one. That one just makes me laugh because that's where the squirrels come in. So if a project's taking you 4 hours, that should only take one, you know, they're squirrels.
Good point. Absolutely.
Even today I caught myself. I was doing something work related. Then I clicked on something. Then I clicked on something else and all of it was interesting. And then it only took a few minutes for me to completely forget what I was doing. And I caught myself. And I'm like, this is ridiculously distracting right now. And it's a choice and I don't need to be making it. And I just closed it all up and got right back to it. But sometimes more time. Like 3 hours can go by, like what you just said.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that leads to another really good point. And that's personally for me, and maybe we'll talk about it later, but social media is a big challenge for me. I didn't grow up with it. Facebook came first and then, I don't know, LinkedIn and Instagram kind of just came after that. But I'm not used to taking pictures all the time and posting them and writing blogs and I think the other challenge, which I have worked at and I think I've become much better at, and that's being a bit more open about who I am, what I do, how I work with people, but also my day-to-day life, you know, really just being pretty open about my emotions or my feelings. I mean, right now, my son and his wife and three grandchildren are moving to Honduras and I live right next door to them. So you talk about a transition that I will be going through, and it's something I've been journaling about, and I will probably share in an email to my people on my email list. But I wasn't brought up that way. You don't share your emotions and your feelings. And yet I think that's how people connect with us, is to know that we're human, that I'm not this perfect person, and I've got all my money stuck together. And, you know, I have the perfect retirement planned out. It's like, no, I'm human too. And I go through, you know, things and having them move so far away is going to be a huge transition for me.
Oh my gosh. I mean, as a podcast listener, you couldn't see my face, but my jaw literally dropped with empathy. I'm so sorry. Although, of course, you'll be enjoying vacations to Honduras.
Yeah, they're going as missionaries. They're both nurses, so they'll be working in the hospital down there. So, I mean, I totally support them and know it's the right thing for them to do. It's just selfishly.
Yeah.
It was kind of nice having them right next door and just having the grandkids be able to bop over and color a picture with them or read a book. And, you know, now we'll have to do it on Zoom. But
well, speaking of Zoom, that popped into my head when you said you're just not used to social media, taking pictures of yourself and everything. I find between social media and Zoom, I'm so tired of looking at myself, right? Because you're right. We're not used to this. Well, we've been doing it now for a while in business, but it is definitely different. And I'm always looking for strategies where you don't need to do that as much. You can still use your voice and you can use video with other things rather than it always being you. But you do definitely have to find something that works for you in a way that there's connection. That you don't Absolutely. Resist doing it. You're not avoiding it because you hate it so much, but it makes really good sense for your business and for you. But it is funny with, in fact, during COVID, I remember being on Zoom and realizing, oh, now I can see how much I touch my face. Because remember at the beginning of COVID, we were so worried about hand washing and when your hands aren't washed, how much you touch your face. And everybody was quoting the research. And on Zoom, you can see how much you touch your face. It's more than you think. So,
it is.
Like, wow, yeah. I'm looking at myself a lot. It's a lot. Anyway, you're right. Social media is something that's different for women our age, and it is something to get used to for sure. And being a Grammy, I mean, it's I'm not in that situation yet, but it's certainly something that most people find such a beautiful part of life. And yeah, you really enjoyed having them right next door. Who wouldn't?
Yeah. Oh, it's been wonderful. I've lived up here. I moved during COVID. So I've been up here for a little over 3 years. Best 3 years. Best decision I ever made.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad you had that. So tell us, what would you like next in your business? What's the next focus for you?
Well, I think I will be focusing. I really enjoy coaching women one to one. Then we can really dive into what their issues are. And I just see more progress, faster progress, probably. And so I really enjoy that. I've been doing a mastermind with a small group of women, which has been really fun. I think I'm going to tweak it a little bit, but I might continue that next year. And that was totally focused on retiring in the next 5 years and just to kind of give them, you know, steps to get them prepared. And oh, the other thing I did this year, which I may continue, is I offered VIP days for, it was a one-on-one in specific locations that I was traveling. I love to travel. I travel every other month. And so I was up in Montana, just outside of Glacier. We had a day up there. I was in Maui, Hawaii, and we did a day there. So different things like that. Just I want to incorporate me, my lifestyle, in and still, you know, be coaching. And like I said, so one-to-one is really my preferred method.
I love that you came up with the idea of instead of doing a retreat, doing VIP days at your favorite places.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's once again, it's one-on-one, so we really get to go as deep as the woman wants to. But I incorporate fun things into it too. I mean, I go to gorgeous locations. So in Maui, we were walking on the beach. We had a massage. We had, you know, champagne to end the day as the sunset was setting. Up in Glacier in Montana, we were on a beautiful river, so you could hear the river trickling. We had massages out on the patio. We had a catered lunch that was really sweet, and we went for a walk. I try to make them really special because they are, and they deserve to have fun. And I think that's the other thing is when people are talking about money, especially women, they get so uptight because they don't have a lot of confidence about how they're handling their finances. And they may be doing great. It's just they need that extra encouragement or maybe just a little tweak here or there to make it even better. And so beauty is one of my values. And so I incorporate that when I'm working with women, whether, you know, I give them a beautiful journal to start the day. We have a gorgeously scented candle. You know, it's just, why not incorporate beauty and fun into something that all of us need to manage the best we can?
To think about beauty with money is so interesting because you're right. The way people think about money and getting things in order is not usually with a scented candle. And so I love that.
It's very masculine. It tends to be, yeah. What is it, our right brain? You know, it's very masculine. Oh, we got to add the numbers up, you know, foot, cross foot, you know, but it's like, well, let's just take a breath, you know, and let's, you know, not that you have to drink when you're working with money, but, you know, if you want to have, you know, a glass of wine or something and just enjoy it, enjoy the moment and just infuse it with your feminine side. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just something that nobody talks about, but I do.
It's so good. So you mentioned in your notes that you had an oh my God moment at 50. Tell us what happened.
Oh my God. I turned 50 and it was really an opportunity for me to reflect on my life thus far, 50 years, but more so, and to be thankful because I had had a decent life, had two wonderful children. That was the biggest blessing, but to think about what I wanted my life to look like going forward. And I think that's where so many times women just kind of let life happen. And I was bound and determined I was not going to do that. At 50, I had a 6-year-old at home because I had my children later in life. I was a career girl. And I had a 16-year-old, so he was in college. And I decided to start a new career. So the kids were great, but I had a really bad interaction with my financial advisor. I mean, to the point of him leaning over the desk and saying, honey, putting his hand on my arm and saying, honey, everything will be just fine as long as you do what I tell you to. He couldn't answer my questions. I was so turned off. Wow. I gathered up my papers. I walked out of his office and I thought, well, I can't tell you what I really thought, but I was not going to be back in his office. And I thought I could do this job better than he can. And he does not know how to have, he can't explain him. He can't educate me. And I'm a CPA and I have an MBA in finance. I'm not a dummy. Just tell me. Anyway, he couldn't do that. I thought, you know, I can do this job better than him. So at 50, I became a financial advisor and started a whole, you know, pivoted, went from being a CPA and a controller to a financial advisor. Loved doing it. And did that for 10 years. And then I found out, so that was my OMG at 50 was loving my kids. I had a 6-year-old to grow up. I had a 16-year-old to get through college. My marriage was falling apart. And I knew it probably wouldn't last. We did what we could, but it wasn't meant to be. And, so I knew I had to create the life I wanted to live. And so I did when I started at 50 and I've never been sorry. I've never looked back. Actually, I am happier now than I ever have been.
I hear it in your voice. I absolutely do. So tell us, what is the best way that people can get a hold of you?
Well, super easy. LindaLingo.com. It's my website. There's also a place there where people can email me at Linda@LindaLingo.com. And I offer a complimentary 20-minute discovery call. So if there's something that they're going through or they want to know more about me or how I work with clients, be happy to talk to them. So that's the easiest way. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and YouTube, all the rest of them. But LindaLingo.com is easiest.
You have such an easy name to spell. It works so well on a podcast, I have to say. Nice. Mine's complicated. Is it a Z? Is it an S-I-E? S-U-S-I-E? Or is it S-U-Z-Y? Is it Steen? Is it Stein? All those things. Anyway, not you. You're easy. That's amazing. Okay. So thank you so much for sharing all of this, Linda. I really appreciate how you just broke things down and you really are using your own life and some of your examples and points of reflection in midlife post 50 to help women move forward when money stuff must be sorted out.
Absolutely. And it's those life trials, if you will, whether it's a divorce or whether it's a widow or whether it's transitioning in a new career or going, you know, that's when money becomes a focal point and it's very emotionally charged. I would say don't wait until those happen, but that's when it really comes to the forefront. And that's having been through most of those, I can certainly empathize and help.
Oh, amazing. I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. You're welcome. My pleasure.
Okay. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. I'd love to have you on to share your story too. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.